You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's Word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au.
But you know, God is good, isn't he? Yeah? God is good. Amen. So, you know, turn to your neighbor and just tell them, you know, you are so blessed. You're so blessed to be here this morning. You know, we are church. We are. Because the alternative is, if you're not somewhere good, then you probably are somewhere bad. And, you know, it could be just simple things that, you know, it could be just things like at work or with friends or with your mates, with your studies, with money. It could be something small, you know, bad traffic, getting to church, you know, tough first world problems we have. Or it could be maybe something more serious, maybe something to do with your health or at home. Or things could go really, really bad. And sometimes, like what happened on Thursday on the next slide. That's right. Bad things happen, guys. Bad things happen. And I'm glad I'm here this morning because sometimes I can think of places I don't want to be. Bad places that I've been. And I'm sure each of us have been to places we don't want to be. Have you guys got places like that you've gone to? You know what I'm saying? I'm not. Sorry, that's obviously a joke. I don't know what happened there, but that was on the news, guys. And it actually did happen. Facebook was out for 3 hours. But sometimes we are in a very bad place. Can you think of places you don't want to be? I remember about 8 months ago, we were in a place I definitely did not want to be. So we had just we were in the airport in Phuket, and our plane was delayed. So poor Mike, you know, that's pretty bad. Not really. But then it got a bit worse. So we were, whole family, just had a good holiday, and we were waiting in the airport, and, you know, just trying to pass time. And then suddenly, big shout, whoa, on the other side. Big commotion, you see a big crowd coming in. And what's going on? So, because I've trained a little bit for emergencies, I just walked the other way. just kidding. So, curiosity got the better of me, so I started going down. Oh, this lady screaming in probably Russian, I don't understand Russian. And there's this guy on the ground, fitting, shaking, you know. So, I, you know, put him, get down there, ask for help, you know, put him in the coma position, blah, 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 all this training stuff that we do. And, you know, now, to be honest, guys, 90% of the time when I attend a medical emergency, 90% of the time I don't have to do anything. You know, you just go, and then, and because honestly, 90% of the time, the body fixes itself. So we don't really have to do anything. But then, I suddenly notice this white guy turned blue. I'm like, oh, okay. Checking, check, 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 check. Okay, he has no pulse. So now it's serious, right? So I'm going to flip him around. And I'm going, CPR, CPRing. And then the weirdest thing, as I was CPRing, time just slowed down. And I was thinking, three things. Number one, this is very, very bad. This guy's going to die. Can we get the defib? No one understands me. The crowd's chaos. And second thing was, how am I going to tell my kids that somebody just died? And then the last thing was, this is a very bad place for me to be right now. I don't want to be here. And then somebody says, oh, I'm a nurse, come help. Okay, great, perfect, your turn to pump, okay? Yep, so, and then, like, you know, hello, Facebook is down. Just kidding. No, so we were CPRing, and calling for help, and chaos, and then finally, the moment. I felt a pulse. Thank the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. And the man comes round and he just starts breathing again, and he turns more a bit whiter, and then he's, you know, people turn up and put him stretcher, and off he goes. Whew. Thank the Lord. I mean, what started out really bad, just flip, change. From a very bad situation to a much better situation. Boy, was I relieved. Yeah? Have you guys ever been in situations which were really, really bad, and then things came good? And don't you just feel that big sense of relief when things just come good and things just come right? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, church? Yeah, amen. And you know, the book of Ruth is very much like that. And if you're new here, grab your Bibles out. Sun Lifers do have a church app with the church notes and sermon notes on it, so you can whip that out, church, and maybe crank up the lights a bit. Thank you very much. And sometimes, so the book of Ruth, basically a quick background, is really a story about how a very, very bad situation comes good. We've seen that in the last 4 weeks. And today we're going to look at the end of it. What starts as a tragedy with death and bitterness ends with hope, life, and joy. Have you guys seen that so far? So you could say also that Ruth is an interesting book because it mirrors the story of humanity, where things start with suffering and wrongdoings, and then in the end there is rejoicing and wrongs being made right through the birth of a baby. Sounds familiar? But most unique of all, I think what is most interesting about the book of Ruth is the fact that Ruth is just a very simple story of everyday life with no famous heroes, no powerful prophets, no huge miracle of God, no mighty battle scenes. The book of Ruth just tells the story of an old lady, Naomi, and her loyal daughter-in-law, Ruth, who have bad things happen to them, and they lose everything. And then now they have to move back to Naomi's hometown for survival. And in the simple everyday life of survival and scrapping for food and everyday chores, it just so happens that everything comes good. Ruth gets married to a kinsman redeemer, Boaz, who is the culturally appropriate redeemer relative to help Naomi and Ruth regain everything they lost. So a son, a husband, land, wealth, social standing, all this is restored to Ruth and Naomi. Just a very simple story, a love story of how Ruth finds a new husband. But it just so happens that this takes place during one of Israel's darkest moments in history. Naomi, Ruth, and Boaz just make simple acts of obedience every day, and it just so happens that God restores Israel through their descendant, King David. And it just so happens that this family line continues on to King Jesus, who restores all of humanity. Yeah, that's right, folks. I'm not exaggerating at all. The story of Ruth is about how ordinary people do ordinary things and it changes the world. And that's why Ruth is so amazing. Friends, what about you this morning? I wouldn't know if maybe some of you are hurting, maybe grieving a loss, maybe you're going through a difficult time, you're worried about something. I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know if anyone here is anxious, or maybe you've lost hope. At the same time, I wouldn't know if anyone else here is, you're doing well. Things are okay. And that's great. I'm happy for you. But what I don't know, God knows. And like in Ruth, it just so happens that God is working in and around your life. Yeah? Remember, I'm not exaggerating. God can turn tragedy, loss, and bitterness into hope, life, and joy. So church, are you with me? You excited? Yeah? Because this morning, I think God will definitely speak to us through His Word. Amen? So let's dive into Ruth 4:13 and to 22, and we'll see how God restores everything. Pray with me, church. Dear Father, just speak to our hearts. Speak to our hearts. Show us Jesus. Amen. So this morning, the title of the sermon is called God Restores. And in these next 9 verses, we're going to see 3 main points. Number 1, God's role for you. Number 2, God remembers you. And last of all, God restores all. So you ready? Let's go. Next slide. God's role for you. So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife. When he made love to her, the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. In this one verse, all the problems of chapter 1 is fixed. Ruth is mentioned one last time before the book ends. And in this one verse, we see Ruth change roles from being a widow, and now she's married, so she becomes a wife. And now she has a child, so she becomes a mother. 3 changes of roles. Can you see that? And the word used for wife here is the word Issa. And if you go to the chapter before that, she's called an ama, a maidservant. The chapter prior to that, she's a sifa, the lowest of servants. And just in the same chapter, a nokria, a foreigner. Can you see how her various changing roles in the book of Ruth? Have you noticed that as we've gone from chapter 1 to chapter 4, she's changed roles so many times? Now, we've learned a lot about Ruth this month. But the thing that I admire most is her ability to recognize and receive the role that God gives to her. It all happens so effortlessly for Ruth. She just understands this, she embraces it, and she changes roles so many times. She doesn't struggle with it like, say, Jonah did. She doesn't complain about it, say, like what Moses did. And she doesn't doubt it like, say, the Apostle Peter did. So many times in the Bible and also in real life today, we see God give various roles to various people, and people struggle to embrace these roles. But not Ruth. She seems to just understand her role, she knows her role, she takes it on, and she gets on with it. Did you know the Bible tells us that there's a time for everything, church? And did you know that God loves you and has a plan for your life? So at various seasons of your life, from birth to the end, God has a specific role for you. And as we journey in this walk with God called life, these roles will change. And as we walk this journey, He will reveal His plan bit by bit. And every time He reveals something to you on His plan, He usually challenges you to change your role. Have you noticed that in your life? Just think back. One of the keys to successful Christian living is to recognize these roles that we are given and then embrace it like Ruth did. Think about that for a minute. What has God revealed to you lately? And what is He asking you to change about your role today? The beautiful thing in the story of Ruth is that she recognizes and embraces every change in the role she's given. Can you see that? Not only her, but Boaz as well. Can you see how he has gone from an unmarried man, and he embraces then his role as a kinsman redeemer, he becomes a husband, and then he becomes a father as well. Hey, but Mike, isn't life like just a series of coincidences, and you know, like it just works out that way? No, they're not. It might seem like that the book of Ruth is a series of coincidences, but you know, it is a little bit unusual, the book of Ruth, because you know, in the book of Ruth, the Bible, this is one of the few books that God's name is hardly mentioned at all. So you may look like things just have happened, but it doesn't. It is quite amazing that right at the end of this book, God is only mentioned for the second time. And what does God do in this verse? Can you see that? The Lord enabled her to conceive. Right here, it's a miracle. Remember the start of Ruth? Ruth was married for 10 years and she couldn't have a child. Was she barren? We don't really know. But right here, she gets married and God enables her to conceive. Not only is this pregnancy and birth of this child a miraculous word of God, but this son wipes away all of Naomi's death, tragedy and bitterness. Can you see that? And then she is restored to hope, life and joy. Can you see that God working through this boy in Naomi's life and Ruth's life? Can you guys see that, church? Can you see that God has a good and perfect plan for Naomi? In the next slide, we see what God spoke to His people when they were going through a very difficult time. And Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Can you see how this promise from God gave Ruth different roles, which then prospered her, which then goes on to prosper the whole nation of Israel? Because remember, this child goes on to give a king, King David, who helps restore Israel. We have three kids, and in trying to be responsible parents, we make plans for these kids. And, you know, we plan their education, their schooling, their homeworks, their music, their sports, how much screen time they can have, and so on and so forth. Yeah? Any parents here? Show of hands, you know what I'm talking about? Some of you are laughing at the back because you know what I'm talking about. You're laughing, parents. You're laughing because you know, as awesome as your plan is for your child, they don't always follow it, do they? In fact, they very often do not recognize what great things you plan for them. And quite a lot of times, they fight this plan. They don't take on those roles, do they? They struggle with it. And then they struggle with you. Yes, sometimes these roles we plan for them might be hard, uncomfortable, challenging, difficult. But we know as parents that ultimately it is for their good. Church, what about Ruth? Was it hard? Was it uncomfortable for her? Was it challenging? Was it difficult? You bet it was. But she persevered. And in fact, we even see her being proactive with these roles. What about you? Is your God-given role right now a bit hard? maybe a bit uncomfortable, maybe challenging or difficult. Maybe God is challenging you right now, this morning, to embrace the role He has given you. So you see, church, God restores by giving you a role, and we need to recognize and embrace God's role in our lives. Amen? All right, let's look at verses 14 to 17. God remembers you. So after Ruth and Boaz have their child, the village women speak. Very important. You must listen to these ladies. Now, remember in chapter 1, these are the same village women that Naomi complains to. Yeah? Just think back about 4 weeks ago. Alright? So, the irony here is that when Naomi talked to them in chapter 1, she was telling them about how bad God has been to her. And the irony now is that at the end of the book, the women are telling Naomi how good God is to her. Can you see the flip? They remind Naomi in verses 14 and 15, "Praise be to the Lord who this day has not left you without a guardian redeemer. This baby, Obed, that Boaz and Ruth have, now replaces the husband and the sons that Naomi has lost. May he become famous in Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. This little boy will become famous. His name is Obed, and Obed means servant. And what he does in Naomi's life is that he will re-energize her life. He gives her new purpose and new joy. And these are the last days of Naomi's life. But she's going to live it out in prosperity, with purpose, and with joy. And this daughter-in-law, going back to the verse, who loves you and who is better to you than seven sons, has given him birth. So here we see God remembers Naomi even before Obed was born. Can you see that? Because when Naomi and Ruth came back to Bethlehem, they had nothing. But the women are now saying to her, "Hey, look, even before you had Obed, God remembered you." Can you see that, guys? And give you some context, seven is the number of completeness and perfection in Hebrew culture, and a son usually means that you will be well looked after in your old age. So the women are saying to Naomi that Ruth is even better than seven perfect sons. Baby Obed. Because God remembers Naomi and looks after her. Verse 16, "Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him." So if you study the culture and context of these words, it means literally that Naomi adopts this child and becomes the main carer for baby Obed. And then, finally, in verse 17, a plot twist. Wow, didn't see that one coming. Plot twist. I just love how the writer casually drops this, you know, "Oh, by the way, you know, the women of the village, they named this kid Obed." That's a bit weird, you know, right? Because parents usually do it, but just go with that. "Oh, and by the way, did I also forget to mention that Obed goes on to be the grandfather of the mighty King David?" Bang! This changes everything, because now the book of Ruth is not just about an unknown widow who and a daughter-in-law who just finds joy in finding a new grandson and their future is secure. Now suddenly it's a story. It's a story about how God brings forth Israel's greatest king. Can you see how God remembers Naomi and actually even uses her and her family line to do something great? Can you see that, church? So these women see God remembering Naomi. What did Naomi think about God? Did she think that God really cared for her? Let's look in the next slide. I'm taking you back to chapter 1. Because this is what Naomi thinks about God, okay? It's a bit harsh. Don't call me Naomi, she told him. Call me Mara, which means bitter, because the Lord Almighty has made my life very bitter. I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me. The Almighty has brought misfortune upon me. Yeah, not happy, Jen. But you can see why she would think that. She had just lost her husband. She lost her two sons. She was poor. She was hungry. She had lost hope. Church, have you ever lost hope? Do you feel abandoned? Are you going through challenges? Maybe you have lost your hope. Mike, you don't know my life or the bad things I've gone through. Yeah, I don't. I'm not pretending to that I know. I'm too busy with my own bad things in my life, my own challenges. But God knows. That's right, church. God knows. And like what happens to Naomi and Ruth, it just so happens that God is working in and around your life. Can you say amen to that? Can you see that God is not a God who just stands from far away? You might not see it right now in your difficult time, just like Naomi in chapter 1. But you know what? Chapter 4 is coming. And then she saw it then. Amen? Isaiah chapter 44 verse 2 says, I am your creator. You were in my care even before you were born. And in the same book, I have carried you since you were born. I have taken care of you from your birth. Even when you are old, I will be the same. Even when your hair has turned grey, I will take care of you. I made you and I will take care of you. These are beautiful words from our Almighty Father. God hasn't forgotten us. Aren't these beautiful promises from God? From the beginning to the end, God remembers you. Especially in bad times, remember that God can turn your tragedy, loss, your bitterness, your hope into hope, life, and joy. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you come from. It doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are. God loves you. God remembers you. And church, remember that God remembers you. A lot of times we don't remember. We're too busy. We're too distracted. You need to literally stop, sit down and remember. We've got busy life. You guys got busy lives. This week I had two opportunities to stop and remember. This week I was at Connect Group and we sat down. And one of the connect questions this week, yeah, we went through it. Thank you whoever takes the notes and send them out. The question, we went through it. We talked about how we first came to know Jesus and asked Him into our lives. And you know, as we went around in the group, I was so touched by the honest, genuine encounters people had. And you could see God working in their lives. You know, one of the testimonies, you know, God spoke to one of our brothers in a dream. And then 4 months later, this dream was like almost impossible. The situation where we heard it, we're like going, yeah, that's not going to happen. 4 months later, it happened. You know, God loves you. God remembers you. And God has a plan. On Monday, the second opportunity I had to sit down, I was at a work meeting. But it's a slightly different work meeting. It's a bunch of Christian healthcare workers. And we all work in this homeless shelter in Northbridge. It's run by the Salvation Army. They've got like any one time like 100 homeless people in there. And you know, this is tough crowd, guys. Tough crowd. They've been through bad times. We're talking drugs. We're talking mental health, trauma, abuse, brokenness, hopelessness. And this time it wasn't a typical business meeting. We sat down and we talked about how we got involved in this group, in this homeless shelter. And amazing, the stories, like people would like, you know, how God worked in their lives to bring them all together, you know. And you know, the psychiatrist, we interviewed her like 6 months ago, all right. And then she finally, you know, confess. She said, oh, the day I came to see you guys for the interview, I actually went to 2 interviews. And, you know, but, you know, she was considering 2 different jobs. And then, but on the way to the interview with us, she actually heard the health minister talk about, you know, the marginalized mental health and how you need to work with these guys and have a multidisciplinary approach and wraparound service. And then she felt like that was God speaking to her, because that's exactly what we did in this homeless shelter. And she took that as a sign from God to that she should commit to this job, even though it's going to pay less, even though it's going to be a tougher crowd. She can work in her private practice, easier crowd, big, better money. But she was God speaking to her. God's doing something. Can you see that God loves the homeless people? And he's gonna move the right people in. He's got a plan. He's working there. Can you see that God remembers people? Can you see that God remembers you? God restores because he remembers. We need to remember that God remembers us. Verses 18 to 22, God restores all. Okay, so right here I can actually just end the sermon, right? Because the book of Ruth actually has ended. And, you know, like, I'm not even going to read that to you because you're going to fall asleep, right? But what is that? Whoa, what's going on? Okay, so let me try and explain it, right? This guy's is a genealogy, okay? It's 10 generations. It's like a family tree of sorts. And don't be scared. What's going on here, Mike? Yes, it's a bit strange, but here's the deal. Okay, the Bible is made up of various types of writings. You know, we have songs, we have historical writings, we have stories, we have, so anyway, you get it. So one of the things that is in the Bible is genealogies. Genealogies help us read the Bible better and connect the beginning to the end. The beginning and everything God does in between, the genealogy is like a map. Okay? And the end leads to Jesus. Yep? You with me so far? Okay, maybe I'm losing a few people here. Let me put it another way. You gotta think of genealogies like a subway map, a train map, yeah? Has anyone been a train in Perth before? Yep, so you know the map, yeah? Or how about Asia? You mean Asia or US or Europe, they've got better train systems than us. Think about it that way, guys. 2 months ago, we were in Japan. And as you do in Japan, you have to get around in trains, yeah? And boy, that Tokyo subway system is something else. Anyone been to Japan subway system? Because it's not just a train system, guys. It is multiple train systems on top of each other. It's like complicated, right? So you can imagine me, family of 5, can't read Japanese, can't speak Japanese, all right? A lot of arigatos and sumimasu and that's it. And trying to go from A to B. Complicated multiple subway system. Yeah? Every time we have to go from A to B, I'll be like, checking your phone, internet, studying the system, looking at the maps, exit, entries, blah, blah, blah. Complicated. And then when we actually get on the train, I'm like watching, you know, like, oh, station 1, station 2, it's all in Japanese, right? Station 3, and I'm like making sure, you know why I'm doing that, right? You guys been there before? You're watching because you want to make sure you're going in the right direction. And secondly, you don't miss your stop. Yeah? And funniest segue, okay? So it's like crowded Japanese train, 5 of us here. And then, you know, like stops and then doors open. It's a whole bunch of people out there. I'm like going, sorry, buddy, next train for you. And no, not in Japan. Like, like squish, okay? And then you're like, next stop, doors open, more people, and then your hands going here, and then your arms going there, and your niece here, I'm looking for my daughter behind me, and then more people come in, and then my face getting pushed this way. Right at that moment, I had an amazing revelation, guys. You know what that is? Japanese armpits smell so sweet. And that's right, yeah. That's right, that's a fact, brother. Japanese armpits do not stink. It's amazing. So what's the point? Gotta laugh a little bit, right, guys? The point is this, guys. The point is genealogies may be boring, but each name is an important step showing you the right path to a destination. So what's the point of this genealogy? At the end of Ruth, after it's all ended, it is showing us the path to how God restores all things. Yeah? It shows us in this list of names, really the writer is actually asking us a question. You know what's that question? What is the book of Ruth about? Is it just a story about Ruth and Naomi finding a redeemer? Yes, but there's more. Obed. Yeah? He's just saying, yes, it is a love story, but yes, there's more. Obed. It is. Then so you go, well, is it just about Obed and he's the, you know, grandfather of David and, you know, he's a great king? Is it just about that? Well, yes, it is. But there's more. There's more. It's about Jesus. Yes, King Jesus. God's master plan to restore all. So you see, the book of Ruth is not just about Ruth. It's about God doing something bigger than even Ruth could ever comprehend. She had no idea. She had no idea that King David would be her descendant. She had no idea that King Jesus would be her descendant. And that's the same for you and me. Your life is not just about you. It's about God doing something bigger than you can comprehend. Yes, God remembers you, and yes, He will restore you. He will restore any problems you have. But it's also about God's greater plan to restore all of mankind. Psalm 33:11. His plans endures forever. His purposes last eternally. Just this week, we've seen aeroplanes crash, British government going into meltdown, economies going down, people getting gunned down in New Zealand. Every day, bad things happen all around us. Classic question. If God is good, why does He let bad things happen? If God is good, why is there suffering in this world? Why doesn't God just make a world without any of this? Why not? Well, my simple answer is, God actually did. If you look at Genesis 1-3, you will see that when God created the world, He made Adam and Eve, He put them in the Garden of Eden, and in Genesis 1-3, if you read it very carefully, it was a place without natural disasters. It was a place without sickness and disease. It was actually even a place without death. And it was a place without sin. So God is a good God. He did create something good. But we know the story. We know what happened. Adam and Eve, they screw up. And then ever since then, generations after generations, bad things happen. And we see it even today. Today more than ever, we as a country, as a city, as a nation, as a whole of mankind, we need to see something restore to its perfection. And Acts 3, chapter 21 tells me that God hasn't been twiddling His thumbs. Acts chapter 3 talks about how God will bring everything to full restoration as He promised. Where is this plan? I must see it. Yes, it's here in the Bible. Don't worry. Have you got any idea what this plan looks like? Is God really going to restore everything? Like, you know, Acts 3 verse 21. How's God going to do that? Well, Matthew chapter 1. The next slide. Another genealogy. Now, don't be scared. Remember, we say this is safe. It's a subway map. This is God's map for restoration. Can you see that? This is right here, chapter 5, Boaz. That is the Boaz station. Okay? And we're going through all these stations, guys, right to the final destination, Jesus Christ. Can you see this genealogy and God's plan for restoration? Jesus, the Messiah, the Deliverer, the Savior. Church, can governments pass better laws to restore everything? Can businesses create a better product that we can buy to restore everything? Can our clever scientists or doctors or universities come up with a better formula breakthrough that will restore everything? And the answer, of course, is no. We can't. Only God can restore everything. And He's done that through Jesus. If we choose to follow Jesus, we are getting on that train of restoration. Because after Jesus has come, He's won the victory on the cross, He has overcome all sin and all of the powers of darkness, and now He's giving us time before He comes again when everything will be fully restored. And guess what, church? We are right in the middle of this plan. Ruth was right in the middle of that plan, but she didn't see it. How about you? Have you chosen to follow Jesus? Are you counting those stations in your life? Or are you just going to do your own thing and let life pass you by? So you see, church, God restores all humanity through Jesus. We need to engage with God's greater plan for all mankind. Maybe it is something small and simple, like picking up one of those forms at the back and sponsoring a child, and then you become part of God's plan to help somebody in a very bad place. And you don't know. You don't know what one Bible study can do. You don't know what one little letter of encouragement in the life of one child can do. You don't know that God may raise this child up and use this child for something great. You have no idea. But you know that at your station, you did the right thing and you followed Jesus and you were obedient, and God will honor that and use that. Do you understand, church? So I'm going to close up here, and I really believe what my brother Tim was saying, that God is going to speak to you this morning, and He's probably spoken to your heart right now. It is not words from up here, it is the Word of God touching your heart. So I'm going to give you time to spend with Jesus right now, and we're just going to go into time of prayer and worship, and, you know, just let the Spirit lead us. You know, let's just all stand and just bow our heads and just really come to Jesus right now.